Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Shadow, shadow, shadow.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of my co-host and co-founder Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to an edition of What Was First, what we like to call bite-sized history lessons. For those of you who've tuned into previous episodes of this series, you know that we have a lot of suggestions out there in a big suggestion box. So I reached my hand in there today, blindfolded, of course, with a special member of the accounting firm, Dubuque and Bishop. And I pulled out a envelope, and on it was written the label Beggar's Banquet Records. Beggar's Banquet. That is correct. And this was sent in by listener Kevin Clement. Good friend of the show from down there in Louisiana. Thank you, Kevin. This is a very interesting story. I gathered up some info from a couple different sources and a very interesting Q&A actually on the Beggar's Banquet website with the main owner, founder, and guiding light of the label, a man called Martin Mills. But let's get started. I want to take you back to the year 1974. Martin Mills and his friend Nick Austin opened a record store in the year 74 in the London area. And before too long, they had actually opened a couple more. They were big music fans and record buyers and all that. So they kind of understood how to do this. And they opened up a small chain of record stores. Then in the year 1975, they actually started getting into promoting a few gigs here and there. And then, of course, by the year 1976, a little thing called punk rock came along and definitely changed the entire landscape of music in the UK and eventually in a lot of parts of the US as well. In 1977, spurred on by the prevailing DIY aesthetics of punk, according to the source of all human knowledge, Beggar's Banquet was launched as a label. And here's a quote from the Beggar's website. Since then, the Southwest London label has consistently released groundbreaking records while also establishing a group of equally groundbreaking labels. They've experienced the lows of near bankruptcy and the highs of hitting number one all over the world. Number one, I hate to do this to you folks, but I'm going to do it. This number one song hit for Beggar's Banquet in 1979. I got to do it out of the sense of history here, of documentation. I'm not doing this to get this song stuck in your head. I won't play any of it. Promise, promise. Wink, wink. In 1979, they had a number one hit that really financially established the label and helped them go on from there. And that was a song by Gary Numan called Cars. In Cars. Eventually, the label went on to sign a lot of really great artists, influential artists. And here's just a partial list. They had The Associates. They had The Go-Betweens, pretty good band. They had The Icicle Works. They had Gene Loves Jezebel. They had The Bolshoi. They had Flesh for Lulu. They had The Cult. So really a lot of pretty important 80s artists there. And eventually Beggars went on to establish a group of different labels. So it's often referred to as the Beggars Group. You may have heard that term. Currently, the labels in the Beggars Group consist of 4AD, Matador, Rough Trade, XL, and Young Records. That's a really powerful stable of record labels right there. And some of the labels that are no longer active but were at one time include, of course, the Beggar's Banquet label itself. Don't Fall Off the Mountain. It was a label that put out Chrome, the Ray Beats, Human Sexual Response. They had a label called Mantra. They had a label called Play Louder. They had a label called Situation 2, which started out in 81 and went for a couple of years. They had a label called Too Pure, which is very cool. Label and a label called Wilja. Now I want to turn to a little Q&A that I found here with the owner Martin Mills, and it traces the history just a bit more in a little more detail. Anyway, the question asked of Martin was, in 1976, punk exploded in London. How did Beggar's Banquet shops react to this? And he says, quote, "The record shops had mainly been selling albums by American and West Coast funk artists. Then suddenly one night the world wasn't interested in albums anymore. They were only interested in singles. Suddenly the same people who had been listening to Diodato were buying the first single by the Sex Pistols. And it turned what we did upside down. We all started being interested in a completely different style of music. The kind of concerts we had been promoting suddenly became completely irrelevant because nobody was going to the concert halls anymore. So we started promoting punk gigs instead. It was an amazing, incredibly exciting sea change." The next question is, from there you launched a record company. Why? And he says, quote, "Underneath our Fulham shop, we had a basement which turned into a rehearsal room where punk bands like Generation X went to rehearse. One of the bands who rehearsed down there was the Lurkers. The manager of the shop, Mike Stone, started to manage the band because they needed help. Then he needed help, so we started managing them and trying to get them a deal. But we couldn't. This was 1976, and at that point, there weren't very many labels, and each one had already signed their one punk band, and that was it. So we set about doing the record ourselves in a way that was now second nature to almost anyone in a band. But then it was an unusual thing to do. There was no roadmap. There were no small independent record companies, so we worked out how to put a record out ourselves. We pressed it and got a very old-fashioned distributor called President to take it on." There it is, folks, The Lurkers. The first release on Beggar's Banquet Records is a single by a band called The Lurkers. It was released in July 1977, Beggar's Banquet, B-E-G-1, Beg 1. The song is Shadow is the A-side and Love Story is on the B-side. So why don't we set the needle down on this piece of historical wax, this classic wax by the Lurkers, and let's hear the song Shadow. All right, folks, so there it is, Shadow. No, it's not about the dog. I wish it was. But he came around a little bit later than 1977. So, yeah, classic sort of buzzsaw guitars there. Lyrics easy to shout along to, sure, at a live gig, jump up and down to. Makes a lot of sense. Pretty cool stuff. Beggar's Banquet, number one. The Lurkers, as far as I can tell, are still around. I mean, there was a couple different versions of them, I know, but they've been in one form or another out there for a long, long time. And just looking here on their Wikipedia page, there's, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 20-some members have been in and out of the band at some time. And they also released a couple albums on Beggar's Banquet, the first of which charted in the UK albums chart. And all five of the singles they put out for Beggar's also charted. So they had a very successful career. Their album was Fulham Fallout, released in June 1978. And then they had Shadow, what we just heard. They had another single in 77, October. They had one in 78, May. And July 1978 as well. So they really put it together. Let's see, Beggars number 9, Beggars number 6, Beggars number 2. So from there, they were kind of a key early band for Beggars Banquet. And so there you go. That's the story of the first release on Beggars Banquet Records. Thank you, Kevin Clement, for that. Very interesting. We're going to play out with Love Story. The B-side of this single or the other song. I don't know if there really were A-sides and B-sides all that much. I'm looking here on Discogs at copies of the original single, Beggar's Number One, a 7-inch single, released in the summer of 1977. There's 7 copies available for $14.99, so you got to pay the shipping, of course. Between 17 and 20. Looks like they're in pretty good shape. So, if you're a big fan of Beggar's Banquet and you want to get a little piece of history, it's not that expensive. I mean, I think for whatever the Bruce Springsteen tickets are going for his latest tour, you could probably buy, about 100 to 200 copies of this Lurker single. You may be able to get many of the What Was First singles if you decide to skip the concert and buy some records on Discogs. But anyway, once again, thanks, guys. What Was First? Always enjoy these bite-sized history lessons. And we'll be back at you tomorrow with another episode of What Was First to close out the week as we get ready for the Big Suburbs Fest coming up very soon in Chicago. All right, my name is Patrick Foster. I want to thank my co-host, good friend Jim Linehan, of course, for everything he does. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Here is the Lurkers doing Love Story.
In cars.